Mishnah Yom is for Friday, the 20th day of Sivan, Tavshin Pei Gimel. Masech de Yuma, Perek Dalad Mishnah Vav. Our Mishnah continues with differences that were in the Mikdash on the day of Yom Kippur from the rest of the days of the year. B'chol Yom, every day of the year, Hayu Sham Arba Marachis. On top of the Mizbeach, there were four wood piles of wood that was burning. The first wood pile, the Gemara explains, was the Maracha Gedola, was the large wood pile, and that would have the Tomid, the Kabban Tomid, burnt upon it. The limbs of the other Karbonis would be burnt on it, the fats of the other Karbonis. The second one was the wood pile from which would be burning, and they would take from that the coals, the coal, hot coals, for the Mizbeach in the Heichal, for the Mizbeach that was in the Kodesh area, to burn the Ketores. Daily, the daily Ketores, once in the morning, once in the evening. The third wood pile was simply and purely to keep a fire going. As it says in the Pasuk, V'hesham nisbech tukat bolesich, the fire should never go out. That's called the eternal flame. That was always on. Then there was a fourth wood pile, and that was used for the limbs of the Korban Tamid of the afternoon, which didn't get a chance to burn all night. So then they won't get a chance to burn it. They didn't have a chance to burn the light, so they would put it on this separate wood pile. V'hayoyim chamesh. But, says Rav Meir, on this day, the day of Yom Kippur, there were five wood piles. There was an additional wood pile, the fifth one, and that was for the Kohen Gadol to take the hot coals from, for the Ketores that he was to offer or to burn in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who holds that every day of the year there were four wood piles. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Choliem Sholosh, he says there were three wood piles. Maracha Gedola, there was the big one, as we mentioned, for the Korban Tamid, the limbs of the Korban Tamid, and the fats of other Korbanos. There was the Maracha Shneir, there was the second wood pile for the Ketores. And there was a third one for keeping the fire going. There was no fourth one for the limbs that were not burnt all night. They would burn that on the sides of the large Maroch, according to Rabbi Yossi. V'hayoyim, says Rabbi Yossi, but today, the day of Yom Kippur, Arba, there were four wood piles. There was an extra wood pile that was reserved, as Rabbi Meir said before, for the Ketores of the day. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'chol Yom Shetayim. Every day of the year, there were only two wood piles. The large Maracha Gedola for the Korban Tamid, the second one, and the fats of other Korbanos, the second Maracha, the second wood pile for the Ketores that was offered on a daily basis, half in the morning, half in the evening. V'hayom Shalish, but on the Yom Kippur, there were three. The extra wood pile that was for the special Ketores that was offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What about the one that was burning all the time? Rabbi Yehuda said no. Rabbi Yehuda says that that wasn't necessary. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that there were three wood piles every day of the year. On Yom Kippur there were four. Perek Chamishi Mishnah Aleph. We go back now to the order of the day of Yom Kippur, and we learned in the previous perek that after the second vidui, the second confession that the Kohen Gadol had pronounced over his bull, and he collected the blood he collected the blood in a bowl and gave it to a Kohen to stir it until he would come back from doing the Ketores, to sprinkle it. And that was necessary so the blood shouldn't congeal in the meantime. Afterwards, he would take a golden shovel, go up to the top of the Mizbeach, and take from a special wood pile that we mentioned previously, coals, hot coals, burning coals. He would then come down, place that that frying pan with the hot coals on the fourth row of the Azara, next to the person who was stirring the blood of the bull. And now we continue what happened next. They took out for the Kohen Gadol, after the Kohen Gadol had placed the frying pan with the hot coals on the fourth row of the Mizorah, they took out for him Esakaf, the spoon, a golden spoon, an empty golden spoon from a special chamber, Lishkas HaKelim, Vesamachta, and the frying pan, the pan that had the Ketores, that was full of Ketores, Dakim in a Daka, very, very finely ground from the chamber of Beis Avtinos where they prepared it. V'achofan, and then he scooped from that machta, he scooped from that frying pan, which had all the ketores, the finely ground incense, he scooped meloi chofnov, two fistfuls of ketores, and v'nosan l'soich hakaf, and he placed these fistfuls, these two fistfuls of the ketores into the spoon. Hagodol v'gadol v'akotn v'ktana. There was not a fixed measure for the ketores. It depended on how big the handfuls of the kohen gadol were. If they were big, they were bigger. If they were small, they were small. V'kach hoisa midasa. And that's what the measure of the ketores was. No more or no less than what was the full handfuls of the kohen gadol. The Gemara explains that the same way it was done outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so it was done inside. Just like outside, we just mentioned, he used his actual fists to scoop up the ketores, did not use any instrument. So also, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would empty the ketores from the spoon into his fists, but not into any keli, not into any particular keli that was made to the size of his fists. Not to l'samachta. Then, now with the armed with the hot coals from that he had taken from the frying pan of hot coals that he had taken from the fourth row in the Azara, biyaminoi, in his right hand, v'sakaf, and the spoon that had the ketores in it, bismoilei, in his left hand. Now, really, you'd expect the ketores to be in his right hand, because that's the main mitzvah, the ketores, right? But the reason they did that, that the kohen gadol was holding it in his left hand, held the ketores, and the right hand held the frying pan with hot coals, is because that was heavier. And we wanted to make things as easy as possible for the kohen gadol, so therefore we allowed the kohen gadol, they said the kohen gadol can take the frying pan in his right hand, and the ketores would be in his left in the spoon. Then he'd go into the heichal, into the kodesh area. Not the kodesh HaKadosh, the kodesh area. For he would go inside the kodesh area in the heichal in the Beis HaMikdash, heading towards the west, ad shemagia leven shtei haparoichos hamavdilos ben hakodesh uben kodesh hakadoshim, until he arrives at the spot between the two paroichos, the two curtains that were separating between the kodesh and kodesh hakadoshim, uben ein amma, there was one amma between the two paroichos. Why? What was that necessary? What was that all about? This is, we're talking here about the second Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, what divided the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a wall of one Amma thickness. That was known as Amma Traksin. In the second Beis HaMikdash, which is much, much higher than the first, it was impossible to have a wall of one Amma wide. They had to make instead Paroichas between Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, just like it was back in the days of the Mishkan. But they had a doubt as to whether that Amma of the thickness of the wall in the first Beis HaMikdash, what Kedusha did it have? What level? Was it the Kedusha of the Kodesh or Kodesh HaKadoshim? And for that reason, in the second Beis HaMikdash, they made two Paroichas, one further in than the other, and between them, a space of one Amma. Rabbi Yossi says, he says, no, there was only one Parechas in the second Beis HaMikdash, just like in the Mishkan. The Parechas, singular, shall separate for you between the Kodesh area, that's the Heichal later on, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says there was no doubt as to the status of this Amma, of this cubit, of the wall, of the thickness of the wall. It was clear to them whether it was on the inside or outside. And they hung the parochas in the place where they felt the Kodesh HaKadoshim had finished there. Now, either way, our mission is going to continue now, not according to this opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but actually according to the Tanakhama, that there were two parochas. Hachitzoina, the outer parochas. Remember, we're learning like the day that there were two parochas, the Tanakhama. The outer curtain, Hoysaprufa Minadarim, was looped on the south. Vapinimis, the inner one, was Minatzofin, was looped on the north side. There'd be a hook there that it would be catching onto that, and the Kohen Gadol would pull it back. The parochas on the south, and then go the other one, the inside one, was opening up on the north. And Mahalach Benan, he would go between them, between the two parochas, Adshemigilat Sofen, until he arrives on the north side, on the place where it was looped on the inside parochas. where the inside brachas was looped. Hegia letzofen, he comes to the north. He arrives at the place where it's where the brachas gets is hooked or looped onto the kodesh looped on there, and he goes through that area into the kodesh hakadoshim. Hofech vanav ledorim, he turns his face towards the south. He had to go towards the south because he's right now on the north of the kodesh hakadoshim, but he has to get to the place right in the center between the poles of the Aron, which is in the middle of the expanse of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mahalech lismolei ima parechas, and he would go with his left hand towards the parechas, because if you're going from a north to south direction, then your left is going to be facing Mizrach, east. And the parechas was, after all, in the Mizrach of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he's on the parechas is going to be known as east. Ad shemegil Aron, until he arrives at the Aron itself. Now, the Gemara explains, the Mishnah really means the place where the Aron once stood. Because we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis Sheni, there was no Aron. Hegiel Aron, he arrives now at the Aron, or what would have been the place of the Aron. Noisenes Amachta, he puts the frying pan of the Gecholim of the coals, Ben Shtei Badim, in the place where there would be between the two Badim, between the two poles of the Aron. It's as if he's putting it between the two bells and the iron, as if it was there. Sovaris akteris al gabi gecholim. And now he piled the akteris, the incense, on top of the gecholim, on top of the hot coals. As we explained, the Kohen Gadol had to, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, put back the akteris from the spoon into his fists, and then take it directly from his fists and put it on the hot coals so the smoke would rise. But he had to be very careful that not a drop, not one granule of keteris would fall to the ground. Otherwise, that means that his melechofna vischosa, means that his fistfuls are missing. So the Gemara says that after the Kohen Gadol had put the frying pan down on the ground, he would then, or then between the area of between what would have been the two badim, between the two poles, he then would grab by the tips of his fingers. He would then grab with the tips of his fingers of his two hands the handle of the spoon and drag it by his two thumbs until the head and the handle would be between his elbows. And now the spoon itself was now securely in his palms. He would then tilt the spoon to the side slightly, so that the keteris would all enter nicely into his fists. This was the hardest avoda, or one of the hardest avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we say in our Mishnah now. Sovaris keteris, he heaped up the keteris from his fists upon the coals. But he would do it on the western side, further away from him, so he shouldn't get burnt. And the whole house would fill with smoke. Or the Rambam says he would wait there until it filled with smoke. Yotza Ovola, he went out and he came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim back into the Heichal, B'derech Beis Kenisasa, the way he came in. He would not turn his face around. He would go backwards, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to show the awe and respect. Umispal Tfilah Ktzara B'Beis Achitza, and once he's outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's in now the Kodesh area, he's exited the Holy of Holies, then he would make a tefillah, or mispal tefillah. He would do a short tefillah. V'lohoya ma'arech b'tefillah. He would not spend a long time davening. Shlel havas Yisrael, not to frighten the Yidden. If he would spend a long time there, they would worry, maybe he died. Because they had a tradition that Kohen Gadol, who changes one iota from doing the keteris, or if the Kohen Gadol was not appropriate for the task, he would die there. What was the tefillah that Kohen Gadol prayed? Yehiratzon milfanacha Hashem alkeinu. Shem tia shana zoshchun. If this year was meant to be a hot year, may it be a rainy year. Now, and that the rod of sovereignty should not depart from Yehuda, and that the people of Israel should not need to help each other for panasa. In other words, everyone should have enough for their own. And that the tefillah of overdrachen people that ask you to stop raining, that it should stop raining because they're having a walk outside, they're going on the road, don't let that tefillah interfere with your plans, or don't let it come before you.